you please stand with me this morning, you'll find our Bible reading for our scriptures, Romans chapter 5, verse 2. Romans chapter 5, verse 2 this morning. Romans chapter 5, verse 2. I want to back up and read verses 1 and 2 together. The Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. May the Father add a blessing to the reading of his word. Let's pause. Our Father, we ask again this morning that you would do that which we cannot do, and that through your Spirit you would illuminate our hearts and minds so that we can understand not only what we've read, but now, Lord, as the application is made, God, that you would help us to make it practical in our own lives. And Father, we might be the better off because of it. So our prayer this morning is, God, that you would be kind to us. Lord, we say that because we have to acknowledge it, because you're always kind. That you would be gentle with us, because you always are, but we need to acknowledge that we need it. And then, Lord, that you would instruct us so that we can be the people of God that you desire us to be. It's not so much that it's what we do, it's whose we are. We belong to you. So I pray, Lord, when this hour is over, that our fellowship with you would be sweeter. And Father, we would hunger for it every day. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. We've already noticed back in verse 1 that when a person embraces Christ in repentant faith, it says that we are now justified. We're justified by faith, and then the result of that is that we have peace with God through, and you remember last week I was playing word games with you. I said, we have peace with God through joining Crescent Beach Baptist Church. And we said, no. You have peace with God because you've been baptized? No. You have peace with God through, again, our Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch verse 2, because there's something I want to show you here before we get started. It says, by whom, by Christ, also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. As far as our salvation in verses 1 and 2, you can see the past, you can see the present, and you can see the future. All of that is right there in verses 1 and 2. Look at the word peace in verse 1. Look at the word grace in verse 2, and also the word hope in verse 2. Through Christ, we have peace with God. We have grace. We get to experience the grace of God. And what is grace? That's his unmerited favor that he pours out upon us. We can't earn it. We don't deserve it. If he gave us what we deserved, we'd all be in trouble. But God in his amazing grace, and not only do we have access to it, it says in verse 2, and we'll talk more in detail about it in a moment, that we are standing in grace. And the picture is that you're standing in the middle of it, and it just surrounds you. You're permeated with his grace. Undeserved, yes, but it's God's grace. And that's one of the benefits of knowing Christ. So we have peace with God. We have grace we have access to. And then last, look at the hope. And we can rejoice. This deals with the future. We can rejoice in hope of the glory of God, knowing that one day, and this kind of goes with Romans 8:30, one day I will be standing glorified in God's presence one day. Now, all of that because of my hope and my faith and my trust in Christ Jesus? Oh, yes. You see, folks, God doesn't save you a leg at a time. He doesn't come and say, okay, now I'm going to take care of this part of your life. No, he deals with our past, our present, and our future. God has a plan. You say, well, what is the end result of that? Peace with God. Not the peace of God. We'll talk about that later. But the peace, I have peace with God. God is no longer angry with me. God is no longer ready to just to pour out his wrath, which I so justly deserved outside of Christ. God is no longer, I have peace with God. One man put it this way, that God is no longer angry with me. That's peace. Now, the peace that we're talking about here is not a contractual peace. That's the kind the world has. You know, okay, you do this for me, I do this for you. All right, we'll sign an agreement, and you've got to uphold your end of the deal, I'll uphold mine. No, this is the peace of God that Paul talks about in Philippians that passes all understanding. So what does that mean? It means that you can't define it, you just experience it. Why? Because God, like his grace, he just pours out his peace upon you. Christmas is coming up. What do the angels sing? Peace on earth. And who was the peace? Christ, Emmanuel, coming to the earth, dying to pay our sin debt. Jesus Christ is the peace of God. He allows us to have peace with God. He is the Prince of Peace. John MacArthur writes this. He says, the peace that a believer has is found in the knowledge that he is secure forever in Christ. It should not only strengthen his faith, but strengthen his service. Now watch this. The knowledge that we are eternally at peace with God prepares us to wage effective spiritual warfare in Christ's behalf and in his power. Now what Dr. MacArthur is talking about is this. Knowing the knowledge that I find in God's word that God has given to me, knowing that now I have peace with God, it should help me to understand that I no longer have to worry about defending myself before God. I no longer have to worry about myself. Now that I know that that issue has been settled, now my focus should be on what? On serving the God of peace. Not just that now that I have peace with God, everything's okay. Now I can serve the God of peace. This morning we were talking about in the Old Testament, you know, in Leviticus 16, how did they deal with guilt? Guilt will rob you of your peace of mind. Guilt will rob you of the joy of the Lord. And so you say, well, how do you deal with guilt? We deal with guilt with the knowledge that we have from God's word. Hebrews 9:14 says that through the blood of Christ that he has cleansed our conscience. He has purged our conscience. And that's where guilt hangs out, by the way, in our conscience. It's always there gnawing and chewing away at us. Well, the verse of scriptures that we're talking about today, number one, knowledge. I have been justified by Christ through faith in him, believing what he did on the cross for me. I have been justified by Almighty God. God is satisfied with what Christ has done on my behalf. And so as I put my faith and my trust in him, then you know what? God accounts that. He justifies me. He imputes that to me. What I had, listen, was sin. That was imputed on Jesus, and his righteousness has now been imputed. It has been charged to my spiritual checking account. I've been justified. Folks, that ought to leave 1,000 pounds off your shoulders right now. I've been justified. Not only have I been justified, now I have peace with God through what Christ has done for me. I have peace with God. God's not mad at me. He's not upset with me. As the old country priest said, God's not getting ready to drop a rock on me. I deserve that, but I'm not going to. Why? Because of what Jesus has done and where I put my hope and my trust and my faith. And not only that, I have access. I can come before his throne of grace in time of need, Hebrews 4. But now I am standing in his grace. Everywhere I look, there's grace. I look to my past, I see grace. I look at my present, I see grace. I look to the future, I see God's amazing grace. And here's the part about it that keeps me humble. I didn't deserve it. I didn't even know I needed it. But God in his grace, he came to me and he drew me unto himself. And he has given me all of that. And what's the last thing? I have a sure hope that goes beyond the grave. I know that if something were to happen to me today, something were to happen to me tomorrow, I know where I would go. Why? Because of what God has given me in his word, and God keeps his word because he cannot lie. I have a hope. Listen to this. It says, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. I can rejoice in that hope. One day I'm going to be glorified. One day I'm going to be standing in the very presence of Almighty God. Not sinful, not wicked. No. Not ungodly, not unrighteous. I will be standing there in the presence of Almighty God because of what Jesus Christ has done for me. And I won't be standing because I've done something. Listen to me now. This is so important. People get this. They don't get it. They don't think about it. It's not what I do that's going to get me in heaven, and it's not what I've done that's going to keep me out of heaven. I has been completely removed from the whole equation. It's all about Jesus Christ. That's why we can worship and adore him. That's why we can be grateful. That's why we can come before him. And honestly, Satan comes before him and accuses the brethren. The Bible says in Revelation, I'm going to get to it in a minute. I'm just chasing this rabbit down. We're going to have rabbit stew here in a minute. I'm going to get it. The accuser of the brethren come, that's Satan, he comes and he accuses us before Almighty God and he says, look. And every time he says, look at that sin, look at this. The Lord Jesus stands up and says, yep, I paid for every one of them. And then we have this little piety, this little self-piety. Well, I don't deserve it. You're daggone right you don't deserve it. But God doesn't give you what you deserve, because if you got what you deserved, it would not be pretty. But he gives you grace. That's what God intends you. I was thinking about the illustration again back in John 4 about the woman at the well. What if she told Jesus what she thought he wanted to hear? Lord, I go to PTO and I do this and I go to church on Sunday morning and I know she said, Lord, I'm not married. She told him the truth, but yet did Jesus push her away? Did he demean her? Did he look down on her? He said, no, you told me the truth. And what did he say? Go and sin no more. And now when he said, go and sin no more, can you hear the passion in his voice? Can you hear the forgiveness? He says, go and sin no more, and I'm going to help you so that you don't sin no more. But you go to 1 John. Listen, you go to 1 John. But if you do sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So he knows I'm going to mess up. Mm-hmm. And he's made a plan for that. Mm-hmm. So I'm okay, because God's going to make sure that you stay okay. That's the God that we serve. Let's look at our text this morning. It's incredible all that God has given to us, and sometimes we just need to kind of unwrap it so we can look at it and see what he's done for us. Look back in verse 2. It says that we have access, by whom also, by Christ Jesus, through him we have access by faith. Now, the words by whom, that's Christ. But access is defined. Now, watch this now. It is used of a person who brings another into the presence of a third party. Jesus is escorting us into the very presence of God. By the way, that's the only way you can get there. Now, watch this. It means to present or introduce. It means for someone to arrange an audience and properly attire you, so that when you come into this presence of this superior being, that you will find favor with that being. The French have a word for this. It's called entree. Now, I didn't know this. I thought entree is something you order on your meal thing, you know. Oh, come on, you did too. Don't sit back there and say, oh, yeah, I know what that meant. Yeah, right. Okay. You see at the door, bring your dollar. I'll let you know. But it's entree, and that is exactly what our Lord does. Listen, he clothes us with his righteousness, he cleanses us in his own precious blood, and then he brings us into the full favor and grace of Almighty God. That's the only way we have access. He's the entree. Listen to this. But is it just for a visit? No. The word, but by whom we also have, that word have is in the perfect tense. It means that we are there permanently. It's not for a visit in the presence of God. When you were first saved, watch this now, when you were first saved and you asked Jesus to come in your heart to save you, you say, well, this before or after baptism. Listen, when you were first saved and the Lord Jesus Christ brings you in his righteousness, he dresses you, and he brings you into the very favor and very presence of Almighty God, that is not just for a visit. You are there forever. No matter where you go on the earth, you are in the presence of God. How does that work? Because he baptizes you with his Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, living down inside of you. So everywhere you go, you are in the presence of God. And some of you are going, oh man, I wish you wouldn't have told me that. I thought the only time I was in God's presence was when I came to the church house. Nope. Where did you take him yesterday? Oh, Brother Dave, not now. Listen, we have the presence of God all the time. But how did we get that access? The Lord Jesus took us in there. He introduced us. Did you see that picture? Now, come on, use your sanctified imagination. The Lord brings you in. He says, Father, this is David. This is the new David. This is not David Earl. This is the new David. He's dressed in my righteousness because he's put his faith in me. Your wrath was diverted. What he deserved was diverted upon me at the cross of Calvary. And David's here today. And Lord, he's going to be with us forever. You say, did it happen? It's probably better than that. Listen. Through Christ, we have a permanent entree by faith unto this unmerited favor which we have been placed, and we are there permanently. Look at the second thing. And also, not only do we have access, but we are standing in grace. Once you get there, there is a privilege that is going to be bestowed upon you. Now, this happened when? When you were saved, the moment you were saved. We are introduced to Almighty God. We are standing in our new home. We are privileged to live in the heavenly temple, but the word stand is also in the perfect tense in the Greek, which means permanent. We do not fall in and out of grace. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. In your Bibles, go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Look with me in verse 37. Romans chapter 8, verse 37. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded, now watch this list, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, that's the future, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate you from God's love. The Bible says that no man can take you out of the Father's hand, John chapter 10. If you're in the palm of God's hand, and by the way, he's holding on to you, you're not holding on to him. If nobody can take you out of the Father's hand, listen, who's big enough, strong enough? Who's going to take you out? No, nobody can. So you can't lose your salvation. Well, sometimes I don't feel like I deserve it. None of us deserve it. That's the facts. And listen to me, I'm not going to say just get over it, but yeah, build a bridge and get over that part. You're robbing yourself of peace and joy because you're thinking, I don't deserve this. There's a lot of things I don't deserve, but I'm going to flat enjoy it. You don't deserve air conditioning, but it's on. Some of you are saying, you can turn it off anytime you want to, Brother David. You know what, I sit up here and you say, why you come out early? Because I want to watch people. And they come in and they don't look for a chair, they do this. I think, they're praising the Lord. I said, no, they're not. They're looking for the air conditioner. And the husband, bless your hearts. You just come in and you sit down wherever mama tells you. You sit down and you say, sit down right there and you just sit there. We got a spiritual church. Everybody's looking up all the time. I'm telling you what's the truth. We're going to put a sign up every once in a while and say, hello. One day we're going to fix that. We got a plan, so just hang with me. I can't listen to the rest of the sermon until you tell me what the plan is. We're going to put a drop ceiling in here. We're going to get all this stuff dispersed. It's going to be wonderful. Amen? Now, talking about the budget. Now, that's another time. That's another time. So you don't fall in and out of grace. Why? Because you're standing in it. You can't fall out of something that you're standing in. You say, I can fall down. If you fall down, where are you? You're in grace. You fall backwards, where are you? Grace. You fall forward, you fall sideways, you're in grace. Now watch this. Look at the last part of verse 2. Not only do we have peace with God, not only do we have access by faith into this grace where we're standing, it says also we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Our hope is not uncertain. Our hope is joyful and it's a confident expectation. Go back to chapter 4. Look up in verse 18. Here's Abraham. Abraham, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. What did God tell him? Now, watch this now. I'm going to see how your memory's going. Did God tell Abraham, all right, now, Abraham, before you turn 80, because you'll be an old guy then, you know, you need to go ahead and you're going to have a baby and Sarah will be 70. So we need to get this done by 80. God didn't tell him anything about ages, did he? He said no. He said this, you are going to be the father and you and Sarah are going to have a baby and it's going to be a boy and that's going to start what's going to be a nation and all the people of the world through faith, your line of faith, all the people in the world are going to be blessed. That's what God told him. So what did God do? He waited till how old was Abraham? He was 90 years old. 90-year-olds don't have babies. Well, yeah, they do. That one did. With hope against hope. See, he had a hope that God gave him, and God spoke this to him. God gave him that promise. God's given you promises, and so he has a hope. Now, with that hope, he put another hope on top of it. Watch this. Hope was the promise from God that he was going to have a son. But what was the next hope that he put on top of that? The next hope was that God said he was going to have a child. Whose honor is at stake? Abraham, you got to keep your life clean. You got to, nope. Where's all the pressure? Where's the burden of proof? It's on God. Watch this. The object of our hope is the glory of God. Now, what is the glory of God? Listen. His radiant splendor, which will in the end be fully displayed. Last night, the heavens were displaying the glory of God. That's only the beginning. Already, the Lord Jesus Christ, the incarnate Word, has manifested his glory. John 17:1, Jesus, part of his high priestly prayer. He said, the glory that I had once before, he says, I'm ready to give you glory again. And what was that glory talking about? The glory of going to the cross. The glory of obedience. Did you know that God got glory out of that? Jesus going to the cross? One day the curtain will be raised and the glory of God will be fully disclosed in the second coming. The Bible says that Jesus will appear with great power and glory. And then 1 John 3, we will not only see his glory, but we will be changed into that glory. We'll have glorified bodies. That's all going to happen one day. Now watch this. Last, the groaning creation will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. That's in Romans 8:21. So what is the glory of God? The glory of God is this. The glory of God is that when you see in one panoramic picture, the power, the love, the grace, the mercy of Almighty God. And it's more than just seeing. We are going to embrace it. That is going to be the glory of God. Dr. Jerry Vines, years ago, I heard him at a Bible conference. And he says, gentlemen, he says, do you know anything about the glory of God? What does it look like? What does it taste like? How do we, he said, let me tell you a story. He said, one day, he says, I saw the glory of God. He had a daughter. She was about 4 years old. She's having seizures. So they had to rush her to the hospital up there. He was in Georgia, pastoring. So they rushed her to the hospital and got her in there. And the doctor came in and he said, I'm going to tell you something right now, preacher boy. It's not looking good. He was in his late 20s. It's not looking good. He said, we don't know what's going to happen. So all I know is, he says, if you can pray, you better pray. He said, he looked around that room, and it's not anything like we have now. He said, it was bare floors, and he said, these little old plastic chairs. He said, I went over in the corner. He said, I set me up an altar right there in the corner of the room. He said, I got down on my knees. He said, and I started praying out to God. He said, there's some other people in there. He said, didn't care. Wasn't their child. It was mine. I started praying. Lord Jesus, forgive me of all my sins. God, don't let anything stand between my boy, because right now, Lord, I've got to have your ear. I'm kind of generalized. He said, I've got to have your ear. Lord God, my daughter's in there, and Father, I pray that you would do something that the doctors say can't happen. I pray that you do something, and God, you'll get all the glory. Father, I pray in Jesus' name, heal my baby girl. Give her a chance to live. Give her a chance to be saved. And he was going right down the list. See, he don't know how long he'd been on his knees. So all of a sudden, he felt a hand on his shoulder. He looked up, and it was the doctor. He said, thought ran through my mind. This is not good. The doctor leaned over and said, preacher, your daughter's sitting up in bed. She's doing just fine. He said, I got up. And if you know Dr. Vines, he said, I went around that room saying, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. That's how God gets the glory. He gets the glory out of our obedience. He gets the glory out of when we pray and ask in faith. He gets the glory out of it. One day we're going to be standing before him. God is going to get the glory. We get nothing. We don't deserve it. But he gets the glory. That's the glory of God. He gets the honor and the praise. He doesn't get second place. No, he gets first place. And there's not even any issue about it. We're not voting. We're not talking about it. It's the glory of God. Our hope is that we can rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Go to the hospital. There's an old man in there, and he's feeble, and he's shaking. And I look at him and said, how you doing? He said, I'm rejoicing in hope of the glory of God because it's going to get better. They believe that. So, now, you know, you need to be careful. How many drugs are they giving you today? Is your oxygen up too high? I mean, you know, are you doing okay? Have you eaten breakfast? I mean, you sound a little delirious right now. He says, no. I'm rejoicing in the hope of the glory of God. Because one day, I'm going to see Jesus, and it's not going to always be this way. I'm going to have a new body. I'm not going to have oxygen, no nurses, no rehabs. Then one day, right now, preacher, I'm rejoicing in the hope of the glory of God. What are you rejoicing in today? I'm going to play the devil's advocate for a moment. It's Thanksgiving week. Brother Dave, do you have any idea these people are coming to my house this week? I mean, it's going to look like a DEA lineup when they all come in. I got in-laws and I got outlaws. And I got that weird uncle. He's coming and, and then got this one coming. And I don't know what my nephews are going to do. And they're all going to come piling in here. And they're all going to be late. 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 And then when they all get here, it's just going to be all this here. And they're going to be talking about this here. And then they're going to eat. And then they're going to leave. And then I'm going to be up late. Late, late, cleaning up after this mess. Right now, I'm not rejoicing in anything. Happy Thanksgiving. Oh, yeah, I'm looking out there. You're not fooling me. What are you rejoicing in? Let's move on past Thanksgiving. Let's just go all the way to glory. Let's rejoice in the hope that we have one day. Let's rejoice in that. Can you imagine that one day? Folks who've gone on before us, we're going to see them in glory. I like what Thessalonians says, that when Jesus comes back, he's bringing them with him. If he comes in the rapture of the church, he said, and they will meet us in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Words mean something. They, them. Maybe a few surprises there, but some of them aren't going to be surprises. How did you get in there? Jesus. Did you see that? Kevin King is in the heavenly. No. How did he? He didn't get in there? No. Where's your hope at today? Not only where's your hope, what are you rejoicing in? Listen, the fruits of justification, all that Jesus has done for us, because in verse 1 we're justified by faith through Christ. We have peace with God, that's a result of our past forgiveness. We are standing in grace, that's the privilege that we have. And we rejoice in the hope of glory. That's our future inheritance. It's a done deal. Now watch this. Our salvation is anchored in the past because Christ has made peace with God. It is anchored in the present because by his continual intercession for us, Hebrews 7:25, he ever liveth to make intercession. Those days that you're too busy to pray, somebody else is praying for you. And you know what? Somebody else is praying for you who knows exactly what you need. His name's Jesus. And then, our salvation is anchored in the future because God gives every one of his children the unchangeable promise that one day they will be clothed in glory with his own son. It's done. Dr. Hudson, you say this, I'm on automatic hookup. I'm just waiting for the rapture or death to take me. God has taken care of all the plans for my life and salvation in the past. It goes back 2,000 years. That's when God started planning for my salvation. And you know what? I get to enjoy that for all eternity. That's what God Almighty's done for us. That's what he's done for us. So we need to get past all this. I don't deserve it and I'm worthy. Yeah. We know that. But let's get to the place where that guilty conscience doesn't bother us anymore. And you know how you get rid of a guilty conscience? Just obey and do what he's asked us to do. And then we have not only the peace of God, but then we can have the peace of God. And then you know what? And then we can serve others. Because when that bunch shows up at your house Thursday afternoon, maybe we ought to do Thanksgiving breakfast. That way you can get rid of them earlier. Just a thought. But when they come, listen. You know what you can do? They need grace. You can dispense grace. They need to see what peace and joy looks like. They need to see that. And you know where they're going to see it? They're going to see it in your life and in my life. You can open up the door and say, welcome. I'm so glad you're here. Instead of saying, how long are you staying? No. You're just driving by. We've got to-go boxes. Can't do that. I got a devious little mind, that thing. Whew. Are you glad to see me? Yes, I am. I'm glad you're here. Because you have no idea what's been going on in their life all year. those three-minute phone conversations, that doesn't tell the whole story. But when you can look them right in the eyes, you know just how they are. And God has put you there, part of his plan, so that you can be a gospel dispenser, you can be a dispenser of grace, you can be a dispenser of whatever they need, because you can do all things through Christ, and you get to minister to those people. Well, they don't appreciate it. Well, there's probably times you didn't appreciate it either, what God's done for you. But we can give away Jesus right there. And it may not be so much in a word, but they'll see it in action, that Jesus changes your life. Folks, you don't have to be around somebody long enough, and you know what, I'm not like them. They think different, they act different, they respond different. I wonder what that difference is. And that's Jesus. Okay? So, Brother David, I didn't do good last year. I blew it. Well, if it'll help you feel better, I blow it every day. But then I have tomorrow that I can do right. By God's grace and by his mercy. Amen? All right. You have peace with God. You have access to his grace through Christ. You're standing in grace. And now you've got a hope that goes beyond the grave. It's the hope of the glory of God in Christ. One day, we'll be there. Let's pray. Father, you know what our hearts need to hear as we close. You know exactly, Lord, where we stand with you. Are we following you from a guilty distance? Are we close and clean? Are we struggling? We're trying to fight the good fight. We just keep getting beat down and we just can't get it together. Lord, help each of us to understand that, Lord, Galatians 6 says we need to fight for each other. We don't need to fight each other. We need to fight for each other. Husbands fighting for their wives. Wives fighting for their husbands. We're fighting for our children. And, Lord, sometimes we have to do it on our knees. And sometimes, Lord, we just have to just say no, no, no. But we never give up and we never give in. Why? Because it's the body of Christ. Lord, today give us that desire. Even though it may not look good, even though it may sound bad, Lord, we can still fight for their souls. We can fight for their reconciliation. We can fight, Lord, for them on our face before you. And why is that? Because God is able. He's all powerful. And the bottom question is, are we going to believe God? Or are we just going to give up and let the world win? No, sir, I'm going to believe God. I believe that God can change a life. He said, but what if they fall? God is not through with them yet. He's still changing them. God will never let go of them. They can never get too far away. His arm is not so short that he cannot reach down and pick us up. That's God. He loves us. He knows us. And he has fought for us on the cross. And he's fighting for us today. And God, I want to be in that army that fights for the souls of believers and unbelievers. Believers need encouragement. They need to be challenged. They need to be reminded of the truths of God, the facts. Unbelievers need to hear the truth about Jesus. He loves them. Yes, he died for their sin. They're sinners. But they need to be saved, and they can be saved because God never gives up. God never gives up. Lord, I pray this morning as you look across this sanctuary, I pray, Lord, that you look down deep into the hearts of everyone here. Lord, look in my heart. Some have fears. Some have just overwhelmed with discouragement. Some are tired. Some are lonely. Some are frustrated. Lord, some, they don't know what to do next. They're so tired, and everything they do is wrong. Lord, help us as your children to stand by them, pick them up, and love them with your love. And Lord, help us to never give up on anybody. Because you never gave up on me. Never. Never. God, we rejoice in the hope of what's coming. Glory. Speak to our hearts now. Bring each of us to that place of need, and may we look to you to meet that need. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.